The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Why isn't San Antonio making more progress towards improving mobility challenges? In January, the local nonprofit SA 2020 released its 2018 Impact Report, which analyzes the city's progress in various indicators improving conditions within San Antonio communities. And the area of transportation, the indicators are moving in the wrong direction. San Antonio is growing, and as much as the city is working on improving transportation, it isn't enough to keep up with all these new demands. So what to do? There are projects and plans, but where's the money coming from? And as are we talking enough about public safety in this conversation? Not every day our streets are getting more crowded, but they're also getting more dangerous. There's lots of ways for you to get into our conversation. Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour with Ray Saldana. He's the San Antonio City Council representative for District 4. Jeff Arndt is the president and CEO of Via Metropolitan Transit. And Molly Cox joins us. She's the president and CEO of SA 2020. And again, the number to call in, tell us what you think about what's happening with San Antonio's transportation issues, 210-614-8980. Molly Cox, CEO, President, SA 2020, what's in your report? What do you tell us?
Yeah, so when we talk about mobility, there's a whole cause area on transportation, and you can see a snapshot of 61 community indicators that we look at if you go to sa2020.org. And when you look at that, you don't even have to know, right, what the actual different indicators are. You don't have to know all 61 indicators. You can just look at them and see transportation is one that's going backwards, right? And it has many things to do, one with our growing population, with our discussion about transit, but not necessarily getting into the complexity of transportation. So when we say mobility, it's not just about public transportation. It's about walkability. It's about complete streets. It's about access to parks and green spaces. And in all of those areas, literally everything I just mentioned, they're flatlined or getting worse.
One thing that really leaps out at me, and that's why I brought this up in the intro, is about how dangerous things are. Mm-hmm. You have the goal of zero, of course, and that's a laudable goal.
For Vision Zero,
Vision Zero, and trying to have zero fatalities in the streets of San Antonio. Yeah. We had the baseline that was taken in 2012 of 954 fatalities in Bexar County. Now, at 2017, the update is 1,093. Mm-hmm. That's a serious number. Each one of them is a tragedy, and you have to wonder if we had dedicated more time, energy, and treasure to making our streets better and improving transportation, how many people we could save.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two things to look at in that. Number one, it's fatalities and serious injuries. And, of course, we're looking at the Alamo Area Metropolitan Planning Organization gives us that number each year. We are looking for zero fatalities, zero serious injuries. And what we need to address, one, is exactly what you're saying. We need to prioritize safety. We can't just keep talking about streets being streets or sidewalks being sidewalks. They take us to the places we need to go to. And then two is, as our population grows, more and more people end up on the streets or on bicycles or walking. And of course, that's going to increase the chances for fatalities and serious injuries.
150 new vehicles on the streets of San Antonio every day.
Every single day, which for car dealers are super exciting, right? And for people actually in traffic, not so much.
Well, car dealers want safe streets as well.
Of course.
You know, they want people to drive fast, you know, and they're shiny new vehicles. But
Jeff Arndt, somewhat contradictory.
Jeff Arndt, president and CEO of Via Metropolitan Transit, wants people to enjoy the scenery as they ride in one of his spiffy buses.
No, I want them to enjoy the safety as they ride inside of those
buses.
Well
played, Jeff Arndt.
So what I would simply note is, and I tell people this all the time, you know, you hear the phrase thrown under the bus, and the possibility of you being thrown under any vehicle is like hundreds times higher if you look at personal vehicles and trucks. So I suggest being thrown under the bus is a very unlikely event. If you really want to get somebody in trouble, you know, throw them under a car.
A personal vehicle.
A personal vehicle. Yeah. But we, you know, transit has a very, transit has a, nationally and locally, has an extraordinarily strong safety record. Not that there have never been accidents where there have been injuries or fatalities, but it is, in my 7 years here, very small.
Sure.
And the more that people are in public transportation, the safer they are. But of course, they have to get transportation and they have to use a sidewalk system, so they are still have that exposure in that part of the trip.
But the future of San Antonio is looking towards public transportation using innovation and convenience as a way to get people to reconsider how they get from point A to point B.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I would say part of our issue, part of our challenge in the San Antonio region is that we have always had a transit system that was really designed and financed and funded to provide service to those people who had no other option. And so we had a system that was predominantly infrequent service, so that if you had another option, you would probably opt to that other option. If you miss a transfer and that bus is running once an hour, you're going to wait for an hour. You have to add an hour to the trip. So what we are really working toward is designing a system that has a lot of flexibility, and I'll talk a bit more about that with the mobility on demand. But under the leadership of my hero here to my right, the city council is now funding VIA at about a $10 million annual basis to allow us to simply increase frequency. And what that has resulted in, the routes in which we increase frequency have, over the last year, had a 45% increase in ridership just because we increased frequency.
Mm-hmm. Let me get Ray Saldana to join us since you brought him into the conversation. Sure. District 4 City Council representative. Well, let's talk about these numbers, about the fatalities and sure. serious injuries. Is this something, is this a shocking number?
So Dave, first, thank you for bringing this conversation to the air. And I think a lot of people who are listening to this as they drive are probably looking in their own vehicle and asking themselves, is there another choice for me to get to the place that I'm going to right now? And if you're worried about danger and lives lost on the street, we have a less likely chance of getting to zero than a city perhaps like a Washington, D.C. or New York, because they've got many other options. Because as we sort of talked about, the most dangerous element on our streets are not the vehicles, it's the person behind it. It's the person who might be speeding. It's the person who might have an incident of road rage. And those are the sort of the pieces that we're adding more of to our streets. And it's the concern that we have because we haven't invested in any other mobility option. And so, you know, we don't get to deal with the city we want. We have to deal with the city that we have. And with the city of San Antonio, if you built it from scratch, you probably wouldn't build it in the way that you've built it today if you were considering an additional million people. And those are the conversations that we're having at the city council level and even at the county government level to figure out how do we envision a future where we actually have to put some money behind our good intentions and our thoughts to make sure that our mobility agency, VIA, has a chance to actually be a choice to somebody that otherwise, you know, has to say, look, I'm going to take my vehicle today and I'm going to take my vehicle tomorrow into the future until they get a choice that has a high frequency, is a given an advantage on our roadway system. It'll always be a vehicle. So that's the thing that your elected officials are thinking about into the future of transit.
Right. But to your point, we are building tomorrow's transportation system starting today. And this is something that's going to require the entire community to understand the challenges, the resources, what we have to work with, and what the vision is to make sure that we have a transportation that will serve all communities into the future. So we're going to take a break, and the phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. How do we reverse some of these trends when it comes to how much time you spend in traffic, how long people are driving to get to point A to point B? That's getting longer and longer. And what about all these fatalities? What can we do to make San Antonio streets safer? 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about SA 2020's mobility report. They want to decrease commute times, increase alternative transportation use, eliminate traffic fatalities and serious injuries, and decrease vehicle miles traveled, and increase complete streets. So these are different items that all are showing not really where we want to be. And so what do you want to do about that? What do you think San Antonio ought to take up? Should this be a moonshot effort? Should San Antonio dedicate some other resources that it's put into other projects into transportation? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And Doug is on the line. And Doug, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. A long-time listener, first-time caller. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, thanks for calling.
I say we take some of that extra money that VIA would just allotted last year and unionize our streets and highways, have our people who work the streets work 24-hour crews, work consistently, put the higher-grade material into the ground so it's less likely. Because San Antonio is so dry and it rains. My wife's active military, so every time I go into the Ben Ziegelman Gate, we've lost four tires. We've been here 4 years, four tires. And we lost three of them in 1 month because in the summer when it rains, the streets just dissolve. So let's put good money into real drainage, real material, so it doesn't fall apart for a rainstorm.
Okay, Doug, appreciate that. So he's talking about the quality of the streets and wear and tear that it has on vehicles. He's lost some tires on some potholes out there. But taking the money away from VIA Metropolitan Transit for that may be, I don't know, robbing Peter to pay Paul for something. So Ray Saldana from District 4.
Yeah, good question. And I think if you're living in San Antonio, living in Bexar County, wondering who pays for our streets, it's we do. And that means in a lot of ways, we have to figure out how to stretch a dollar. And if you want to know how much the city is committed to this issue of the Ben Ziegelman issue or any other issue where folks feel like quality of streets is the most important thing on their priority list, it's about $100 million a year. And here's the history in our city. We're the person on the dance floor who only knows one dance move, and it is roadways. And when we have a little issue, our only other dance move is let's continue to do more roadways and expand those roadways if we have issues with congestion or other problems. And I think the question is not redirecting money from VIA, that's already a starved source of funding. It's to talk about where we're investing today. And if you look at the receipts for the last 50 years, we've been creating the problem that we're talking about today. We've built out highways in the areas that have stretched our city to 500 square miles that really turns us into this, you know, we're all scratching our heads into this quandary of, you know, how do we create a multimodal city that has only been built for vehicle? And let's ask who's in those vehicles, because it's only one person, and that's the big issue we're struggling with.
And I think
okay, Molly Cox.
I was going to say, I think that's really the challenge, too, is one, we're 500 square miles, right, a city, which means our streets are different from one side of the city to the other side, made of clay versus made of, right, rock or whatever, and that's why we're seeing problems. But when you say something like, hey, this is a public safety issue and our community should get behind it, I agree with you wholeheartedly. In fact, we are decreasing our alternative transit use across the board. So we started with 14% of our workers, right? People 16 plus who travel by carpool and or public transportation. 14% in 2013, we're now at 13% in 2017. So fewer and fewer people are choosing to carpool or to ride VIA or to jump, right? Like, we're putting single people into cars and then saying like, hey, we have a problem with our vehicle miles traveled and it takes too long for me to get to the place that I want to go and traffic fatalities are going up. And we're saying if it's a community problem and we're serious, then what is an individual's responsibility for also figuring out how to play in the system?
And so to the councilman's point, you know, we've had really one tool that we use, right? Which is, okay, if we have congestion, just add more lanes and then of course, we have congestion again, add more lanes. Oh, we have more congestion again, right? I compare that to somebody who keeps gaining weight and has to buy bigger and bigger pant sizes rather than deal with their diet, right? And that we have to think in terms more of there's more solutions and more alternatives to fixing that problem than buying bigger pants. And so we want to be part of, and I'm not saying exclusively, but part of the solution of giving people options that would be attractive so that we would get more people into a single vehicle and free up space on the roadway.
So there is this Connect SA plan that has been put forth, and part of that is coming up with rapid transit around San Antonio, what is not rail connected. It's can you talk a little bit about that, Jeff Arndt?
Sure. So let me start with the rail question is always the one that comes up, because there are people that are big proponents of rail and there are people that are opposed to rail. And I'm going to give what I think is the practical response. So when you say compare rail to bus, the image is the bus is traveling down the road, stopping every other block, people getting off and on, looking for change in their pocket. That's the bus. The image of rail is a subway car. Mm-hmm. And so everybody says, we need rail. Well, what I say is we need service that operates like a rail system, but it doesn't have to be in a rail vehicle. The vehicle itself is not the issue. The issue is how that vehicle, the infrastructure that vehicle has to operate. And so that's why our plan has advanced rapid transit lanes. So you still have a lane like a rail system, but you don't lay track. You save about half of the expense, so you can build it twice as much for the same dollars. And you get 100% of the benefit that you would had you laid rail. And I would argue even more benefit, because rail is permanent. You're never going to move it, and that rail vehicle is never going to get off that track. The bus gives a lot of flexibility as far as getting off that lane and going over to the medical center and circulating, for example. So the bus gives you more flexibility and probably more benefit for that investment than had you done rail.
So how are we getting there?
Well, our challenge, as always, is the funding. So the current VIA funding is fully allocated to running the system we have on the street today. And without the $10 million from the city, you know, we would be even in a worse position. Our funding allows us to provide a service that essentially works for people who don't have alternatives. It's not attractive necessarily to the general community, and we want to provide it a system that's a real option to driving your car.
Let me get Marcus on the line, 210-614-8980. Marcus, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. I think that, you know, first of all, I think our city was unexpected in the way in the past of it growing and how it's been growing rapidly now. And secondly, I think we have a really good bus system. I mean, in the past, it was rated, I know, very highly nationally. But yet, I think there has been some kind of reallocating of funds towards other developments, like, you know, building more apartment buildings and everything else. And I think we should get back to really looking at the most, let's say, smallest detail in the bus stops that we have. It's not weather friendly for people. And I think that's why it's discouraging people from taking the bus. I think there would be a lot of students and young people and even older people who would like to use the bus as opposed to their vehicles and going to work. But you know, when you look out and see the majority of the bus stops just have a bench. And I think if we made it more passenger-friendly in the way of the first step in utilizing the bus system, that is the bus stops, that I think we would really have an increase in bus transit participation.
All right.
And
Marcus, thank you for the call. So no more bus bench on the street corner. And do you think that we'll be able to improve the quality of the bus stops? Jeff Arndt, CEO, president of VIA Metropolitan Transit.
So over about the last three and a half years, we installed 1,000 new bus shelters throughout the service area that complemented the 1,300 that were built in the first 39 years of VIA. So we outdid 39 years in a fairly short order. 95% of the boardings in our system happen at a sheltered location. We recently had national accolades where they noted that San Antonio, Texas has more bus shelters on the street than the entire city of Los Angeles, California. Mm. Very large city. That doesn't mean that there aren't some stops that have lower levels of amenity. We put those shelters, and obviously if we're covering 95% of the boardings, based largely upon boardings. So the larger number of boardings, the more investment. We are looking at those shelters as far as how to enhance them. Sometimes the space kind of restricts us. I recognize that if you're in a driving rain and the wind is blowing the right way, that there's no way that you're going to be protected short of us building houses or little glass houses, if you will, at those stops. But we've certainly been dedicated to trying to enhance the condition at the stop, as well as investing in some sidewalk linkages associated with those stops, because we know, again, you end up walking first before you ride the bus.
Got a listener on Twitter says obstacles include lack of shade and water fountains at bus stops. You know, in some places where you have like metro stations and we have these developed stations, they can be economic drivers. They become places where coffee shops, communities gather. It becomes a hub, a mini hub for a neighborhood. Any chance that that's something that we will be seeing as we develop this rapid transit system?
So first of all, at several of our hubs today, at Ingram Mall, for example, or Ingram Transit Center, at the Central Plaza near downtown, we have actually buildings where you can wait inside that have restrooms, that have fountains, et cetera. And so if you look at bus rapid transit or advanced rapid transit, you end up with the same thing. You end up with station areas that become kind of community hubs. And I believe that will start changing the complexion of development in the city.
And Ray Saldana.
Yeah, I want to add to, Marcus was the caller, brought up a really good point, and I think he sees the light of things that would attract folks to consider a different option than just their vehicle. So does the Twitter post that says, hey, these are things that I think will work to get people on board, but here's just one part of the equation, because if you build a Taj Mahal bus stop, and then you're waiting there for an hour, you're going to say, I'm checking out. This is not good for me. That's why we've made these investments at the city at VIA, because we think if a bus is coming every 12 minutes, it takes the science and the guesswork out of it. You show up, you're not going to wait longer than 12 minutes. Those are the kinds of investments that we need to make. And it reminds me of a story I had early on in my council tenure when I was having a conversation with an engineer telling him, hey, look, my constituents say that we need a sidewalk down this area. And the engineer said, no, you know what? We've already done the study, the traffic counts of the people walking. There's nobody who's walking down there. I said, nobody's walking down there because there's no sidewalk. So if we make that option so miserable for folks, nobody's going to take advantage of it. But we actually make enhancements and investments, and this is the dollar sign question, reprioritize where some of our dollars are going. Then I think you're going to see folks who say, I want to engage in a different option. And because the option as it exists today is not something that I will consider, but if we increase frequency, if we have better bus systems and bus stops, those are elements, like Marcus brought up, that will make folks think it's an attractive option.
And Molly Cox.
Yeah, we're even talking more specifically, right, about the spontaneity of being able to use public transit, right? Like the spontaneity of my car is very quick. I go out, I get in my car, I drive to where I want to go, right? Now, if we were to even take this one step further and talk about when we say San Antonio's transportation system is recognized as a model of efficiency where everybody is able to walk, ride, drive, or wheel, we are building the transport. That's the vision for transportation in San Antonio. And what we're now getting into, right, is uncovered bus stops or a lack of sidewalks or, right, now we're not even talking about perhaps people who not only don't have the spontaneity of getting their car because they need public transportation, and then secondarily is people who do not have the option of driving at all because they are potentially in a wheelchair or need public transit to go, and we don't have the sidewalks to get them to the bus stop, and the bus stop's not covered to get on the thing, right? Like, so the system is so complex, and there's so much that we have to be thinking about. This is like a game of chess that we haven't even started understanding the very tail end of, well, we need a sidewalk to be able to get to the bus, and the bus needs to be able to move more frequently, and we would like spontaneity of getting to the places that we absolutely need to go, like our healthcare system or our jobs or whatever. And when we start to sort of think that this is like a silver bullet or whatever, we've missed the point.
Okay, and really quickly, Ray, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, just so that I can be an advocate or a voice for the bicycle community, here's another example that, folks say, I would choose the option of bicycling into work if the lanes were protected, if I felt safe on our roadways. That's another example that if you actually invested in creating that network, you might see more folks take advantage of that. And you can't measure and say, oh, well, we don't have any bikers today who are biking into work. Well, we haven't created the network safe enough for them to take that option.
And the ones that do, they find themselves in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what we want to have happen. The headlines are scary and they're too frequent, and we got to figure out a way to protect the people who are willing to go out and ride bikes and walk and run in the streets of San Antonio. The number to call in as we have our conversation about trying to craft the future of San Antonio's transportation, and we look at the SA 2020 report about mobility here, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the SA 2020 Impact Report on San Antonio's transportation challenges. With me in the studio, Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020, Ray Saldana, San Antonio City Council Representative for District 4. Jeff Arndt is here. He's the President and CEO of Via Metropolitan Transit. If you want to call in, 210-614-8980. Christian is on the line. Christian, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I want to know how they plan to address the issue of dealing with the heat. Nobody wants to wait outside in 100 degrees unless they have to.
All right. And that is a pressing, real problem. How do we deal with that? So, Jeff Arndt, I mean, there are other cities that have the same problem.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So, for example, during extreme heat days, our supervisors are on the street with bottled water, stopping at the bus stops to provide that. But beyond that, there's not a lot.
I mean, like shelter, some sort of.
Well, the shelters are in place. 2,400 shelters are in place.
But people always complain, like, people aren't going to bike in San Antonio because it's too hot. But you look up the road in Austin, it's not that far. It's got the same weather pretty much we have, and they're biking pretty regularly. It's just basically, you know, do you want to do it or not?
Well, people bike to the bus right now. You see buses all the time with bikes on the front. Surprisingly large numbers of people bike to the bus.
I think there's also an underlying conversation here about our climate action plan and having conversations around what are we doing as a community to also understand sustainability and our resilience as a community moving forward. And we know that that is currently under public engagement and review of, like, what are we doing in San Antonio to combat? We know we're getting hotter. We're going to be over 100 degrees in our community for
More days.
It's just going to keep increasing. And I think the challenge, right, is what I enjoy about anybody who brings that up is that we're starting to see sort of the interrelatedness of, right, sustainability and mobility and education and economic development. All of these things are interrelated, right? And if we don't start having these more complex conversations, then we don't come up with community solutions.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray.
So here's the reality of San Antonio as it exists today. There are some people who have no choice, and I've spoken to them. I've had their conversations with seniors who used to drive but are no longer allowed to get a license, so they rely on the bus. They're currently out there waiting in the Texas heat during the summertime. And the question is, how do we solve the problem for them? I don't want them waiting out there an hour. If they're waiting out there for 10 or 12 minutes for a bus, I think that's reasonable. In fact, when you talk to riders, they say that they prefer the heat to the rain. So we have to protect folks from the elements. But the other question is, if you are, you know, the idea of biking in San Antonio is quickly shot down because of the heat or the distance. I don't need anybody, we don't need to force folks to bike 10 miles. We need to create these networks, whether it's a bus system for you. The first mile may be a bike to the bus stop where you'll wait 12 minutes and then you'll bike into work and you'll have free parking when you get there. Those are the kinds of options that we need to understand that we're working around, because currently today we have some folks without the city's investment who might be waiting an hour to get to their doctor's appointment. And we need to work on those small things, again, to increase the attractiveness of mobility in different forms.
And Jeff Arndt, with VIA, how are you working with things like Uber and Lyft or scooters to do that last mile?
Well, let me just tell you about a project that we will be implementing in May, which we call which is generically called Mobility on Demand. I think we have we'll have a different logo for it when it rolls out. So in the suburban areas, it's very difficult to serve suburban areas with buses. And of course, we, as our city has grown, it's become more suburban, right? So it's more and more difficult to serve those areas. We have fixed route bus. We have buses running. They typically run once an hour because it's hard to get demand. So we're going to pull those buses eventually. Initially, we'll leave them in place and replace it with what you would probably think of as an Uber-like service, where everyone within that region can contact or use an app to plan a trip and take that vehicle from essentially their home or near their home to their location in that zone, or connect to the rest of our system at a transfer location. Now, that really helps address a lot of these issues like heat. On the app, you can watch the vehicle as it arrives. You don't have to stand out on the street corner. You don't have as far to walk because you're pretty much going curb to curb. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be implementing that on a pilot basis in May, and we think there's a lot of possibility and applications elsewhere within our region.
Let's go to another caller, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make the comment that I think as the city evaluates the climate action plan, they're really doing us, city council is really doing us a disservice by not putting more funding into VIA as we look at the next 12 years and how to combat climate change.
Okay, Jennifer, thank you for that. So Ray Saldana, District 4 representative on city council, putting more money at VIA, but there's only so much money to go around, so what do you do?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer gets it. Mm-hmm. She understands the big picture that we're all working under. Sometimes we target ourselves at one issue. It's transportation, it's education, mm-hmm. it's the climate action, but they're really all interconnected. And the city has, in many ways, the last 2 years, tried to answer her question by going from zero committed to VIA to $10 million. And the great thing is that money matters in a situation like increasing frequency at VIA because it has now probably cut some people's wait time in half. They're not spending an hour and a half commuting from work or into the downtown. It takes them maybe 40 minutes, and it's all in the bus and it's air conditioned. But we do need to identify the original sin, which was 1977 when we decided to fund VIA with half a cent of our city's penny and not a full penny. That's the difference between about $500 million versus $300 million to have a public transportation system that works for people, that's convenient, that's attractive. And that's, I think, Jennifer's big question is how do we get VIA to the same level that all other agencies in the state are, which is a full penny of our city's sales tax.
So San Antonio's current sales tax is at the maximum, which is 8.25%. And it goes towards the, there's an eighth of a cent sales tax goes to the Edwards Aquifer Protection and Parks Development Expansion Venue Projects, a eighth of a cent sales tax for Pre-K for SA, and a quarter sales tax for the Advanced Transportation District that goes to roads as well as for transportation projects. And then we have a half of a cent that goes towards VIA Metropolitan Transit. So are we done with sales tax, or are we going to try to rejigger that?
So if I were to predict the future, I would say that it's going to be up to the voters. We will have to reprioritize. We're not asking for an extra cent. What we're saying is that will you allow us to build a future around transportation with the existing money that we already have? And then the question will be, well, what are we doing with that money currently? And you outlined some of those things around the Edwards Aquifer Protection.
That's
Greenway
been floated.
Trails.
That's been floated.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my prediction. I'm one council member with one vote on the proposition to consider those options, and I think that's where the city is. If you were polling them and saying, "What is the biggest issue that we've got facing the city?" and I think transportation is quickly up there as one of the top one or two.
I mean, so without getting too deep into this issue, I know that Mayor Nuremberg has says he's not in favor of taking that eighth of a cent sales tax from the Edwards Aquifer Protection Venue unless he can find other funding for that one thing. I mean, is that other funding? Does it exist?
So there are, in my opinion, a number of different ways for us to continue the commitment we've made to Edwards Aquifer Protection outside of the sales tax. If you look at the investments that we've made since 2000, it numbers to the hundreds of millions to buy up land to protect our aquifer recharge zone. So there are ways within a bond that you might be able to do that outside of the city's sales tax so that you can start trying to recorrect that error we made in the 70s around underfunding our transit system. So if we're serious about increasing frequency, if you like what you've seen with the city's investment for $10 million, just imagine what you can do if you really start investing in our transit system to create the kind of mobility connections with VIA, with microtransit like scooters and bikes. I think you'll really start to see us flourish and create options that city residents would find as attractive as riding by themselves in their own personal vehicle, along with a congestion that comes along.
That still doesn't get us to a full penny. Is that a goal? Get us to a penny?
I think it has to be. And there's some conversation about asking the legislature to let us go above the cap for our sales tax. And again, those are all questions that we don't move forward without the permission of the voters. And so whether they have the final authority as to whether we think transportation is worth investing in.
So decisions have to be made in order to figure out ways to find money in order to improve San Antonio's transportation system that includes rapid transit and other ways, complete streets, things that will give people options in order to get around, improve San Antonio's economy. If you can't get to commerce, you can't do commerce. All these other things, it's all interrelated.
Absolutely. And let's not pretend like we haven't been making these kinds of decisions before. I mean, proposition.
But now it's getting serious.
Well, think
I mean,
about.
Look at what the directions are. We're not making the goals.
And let's not double down on bad mistakes. So I'll give you an example. Proposition 7, about 3 years ago, it went before the Texas voters to add, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to build more Texas highways and roadways. We've doubled down on that investment. I'm not saying get rid of it completely. Let's just try to match it with transit focused dollars that don't just say, let's expand a roadway that's going to increase housing development, going to sprawl our city. Let's consider matching every dollar that we commit to highway expansion to commit to transit.
Let me get Bill on the air really quickly. Bill, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Hey, one quick suggestion. Water fountains at the bus stops. The main thing I called in about is the climate change and what are your plans for using more electric buses?
Bill, thanks for the call. Jeff Arndt, we're seeing lots of advances around the world with elective electric buses using ultra-high capacitors to power those things.
So we recently replaced about 80% of our fleet. We went from diesel to CNG.
Compressed natural gas.
The CNG buses that we have on the street today emit 95% less NOx than the diesel buses they replaced. However, I believe that electric bus technology is going to become the dominant force in the market, and we are about to procure the beginning of electric bus fleet aside from the two that we have right now, which were prototypical.
All right. We're going to talk more about San Antonio transportation innovation, the future of mass transit, getting people from here to there. What are your thoughts about public safety on the roads? What do we need to do to make sure that we can get around safely in San Antonio? 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about SA 2020 mobility. And this is mobility for all the communities in San Antonio, which includes people who have mobility issues. Disability SA on Twitter asked that we look at replacing buses that have a transitional seating for more individuals using wheelchairs for mobility that could accommodate as needed. Also, does the VIA app let you know where the buses are in relation to that stop? Jeff Arndt with the CEO of VIA Metropolitan Transit.
So there are a number of ways you can find out where the bus is. There are some stops that actually have signs that tell you when next bus arrival is, but those are fewer than the number that don't. The second way is that you can text to 52020 your bus stop number, and it will bring up the next set of buses that will arrive. That's the one I use most. But our app is moving toward an Uber-type experience. And in fact, in ViaTrans today, if you book a ViaTrans vehicle, you can watch your vehicle as it approaches, so you no longer have to try and guess when you need to be out by the curb. And so we're, yeah, definitely moving in that direction.
And as transitional seating for more folks with wheelchairs and mobility chairs on buses?
So the seating right now we have... We have like two or three locations per bus for wheelchairs, and typically that's sufficient. So I would have to look at what else we could do behind that area with respect to additional seating for wheelchairs.
I know that on the Primo that it has a ramp that folds down. Mm-hmm. People in mobility chairs can go into the vehicle. The bus driver will assist them with locking the chair into the Primo, and they've got a couple of spaces, docking stations for that, so those folks can travel safely and in comfort with that. Let's go to another caller, and this is Kevin. And Kevin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. This is tied into that question regarding the app. I had traveled a lot in Chicago, and their system shows the actual arrival time for the buses, or at least how far out they are in real time. Is that available to us? Again, Chicago's had it for over 10 years.
Okay, Kevin, thank you for that. And again, Jeff Arndt.
Yeah, again, if you're at a bus stop and you text your bus stop number to 52020, it will tell you how many minutes until it will list the next approaching buses, and it will tell you how many minutes away that vehicle is, and that is in real time.
But it sounds like the caller was saying that there are other ways of doing it that seem to be working pretty well like apps or something that really is that? Or these things are still being developed and constantly improved, and we're getting there.
Absolutely, and that's the direction we're. In fact, what we're heading on with our app is for it to be a mobility app. So it would be an opportunity for you to if you want to ride a bike or rent a bike, if you will, you could do it through the app. That would then you take that bike to a transit center, and you could buy your fare media through the app, having integrated fare media that way. So absolutely, the app is working in that direction.
Let's go to Tony. And Tony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello, it's good to talk to you. The trouble is that when you get off of one bus, the thing is that if the next bus only runs once a half an hour, then you have to wait the whole half hour instead of catching buses in between schedules. Another thing is the crosstown buses don't run that often. So instead of catching a bus and getting, say, from Fredericksburg Road to, say, Broadway in about 15 minutes, you have to wait another hour or so. And another thing is that people who ride the bus have to play Cinderella. If there are celebrations or festivities taking place, especially on the weekends or holidays, it doesn't matter how late those activities are taking place. If that person is not at that bus stop by 10:25 or whatever it is like that, they don't have a ride. So right. We're kind of under the thumb of the transit system.
Okay, Tony, thank you for the call. People want the public transportation system. They want it to do a lot for them. And Molly Cox, you know, any ideas? How do we make sure that we can get a great state-of-the-art system that serves as many people as we possibly can and then deal with people who have needs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I appreciate Melanie with Disability SA sort of tweeting about the idea like, hey, can we have more seats, right? We know that when we build things for our community needs, right? Curb cut effect is, I say this 100 million times, we created curbs that would help ease a person in a wheelchair getting up onto the sidewalk. And then what we found, the ripple effect was, it was actually better for everyone that we made it that way. Bicyclists, women with strollers, or dads with strollers, right, moving. It immediately made it better for everyone. So if we're thinking about community needs at the very base of who needs what where, then it makes it better for everyone. So when a corporation says, hey, we're going to incentivize our people coming to our place of work by using public transit or by carpooling or by working from home, then corporations now are starting to get involved in creating solutions for our public transit system. So I agree. Like with Tony, it's the idea, right? I want to be able to ride the bus or take a bike or do whatever. Agreed. How are we prioritizing it? And I think part of that, and we mentioned it a little bit earlier, is Connect SA is going to be doing a public engagement process that says what is the priority and how are we funding it as a community.
Okay, another caller. This is Daniel. Daniel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is a question for Saldana. Why is it still illegal to use the linear creekway after dark? And then my other question is, when are you going to fire the transportation engineers who are literally preventing us from having protected bike lanes?
Okay, and so, Ray, you don't have the power to fire anyone, I don't think, do you?
I don't, and if there were a specific person who was blocking protected bike lanes, I would pressure anybody who was hiring that person to do the opposite of that.
But he's expressing the frustration. Yeah. That we need more protected bike lanes. But first thing, okay, the linear creekway paths, those things could be very useful.
Absolutely. I think that's as simple as a request to the council to change a policy, but it's a very difficult one because it would require staffing, just like our parks that close down at 11. We consider our linear parks just in that same vein. So if he wanted to create the momentum and come down to council and say, this is an issue we need to take on to reverse because it is a transit corridor that I use, mm-hmm. and maybe I work in the service industry and I need it past 11 or 12 o'clock. But that's part of a bigger issue that I think would come
to the
council.
But those things were not designed as transportation corridors. They're as jogging paths and as for recreation. And they're not that wide. And if people start using them for those methods, then we've got to rethink and figure out if we have to do some redesign.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd have to weigh in. So if that came up as a debate.
Would be cool, though.
I mean, we've talked about the different networks of creekway systems that cut through our city that people have imagined those being transportation nodes that you can move through that to get in and out of the west side to the downtown, to the south side into the medical center, because that's how the creekways have moved through our city. But, to take his point and to take Tony's point, there is this sort of Cinderella effect of being reliant on public transit, because after a certain hour, it shuts off. So you better be at that.
If you miss lineup, you're in trouble.
You're paying a taxi potentially.
Lineup, you know the words.
And so, but okay, what about the protected bike lanes? Yeah. What are the pressures? Why don't we have more? I know you have a lot to consider in these things.
If there was one issue that I think we could take on, it would be protected bike lanes and having the full council agree that that is the right thing for us to do. There is currently the jury is still out amongst my colleagues that is a worthy investment, because in many cases you don't want to take away a roadway, but you might have to expand into the right of way. So you'd have to purchase right of way from a business that may be their parking garage or their parking lot for us to build out a protected bike lane. And we at least from my perspective, believe that protected bike lanes is not just good for bikers. It's good for folks who may be in electric motorized scooters because of a disability or a scooter in general. So there's so many different ways that a protected bike lane could be used that is the future of
And it's project. Helpful to the vehicle operator.
That's right.
It very helpful to the vehicle operator.
Okay. Phyllis has called in. Phyllis, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. I live on the northeast side, and I'm concerned about the safety of where some of the bus stops are located. I've noticed on Austin Highway and Thousand Oaks that people are having to cross in the middle of the street instead of crossing at a light or a stop sign.
Okay, and so Jeff Arntz.
So it's generally our policy to put bus stops. Actually, we have a primarily near side, what we call near side system, so near side of a traffic signal. Mid-block, we avoid mid-block to the extent that we can. However, sometimes the distance between signalized intersections or even intersections can become so great that in order to provide access, we end up doing that. But if there are specific stops that there's safety concerns about, I'd appreciate people alerting us to that. We can send our safety people out and our route planners to see if there's any alternative.
How would they do that? We app? We text it?
Yeah, you
on the app?
Online,
okay.
On the website.
Perfect.
Which is viainfo.net.
So, Ray Saldana, as we wind down the hour, what are some things we can look for to show us that progress is being made, things are changing?
Yeah, so the we have to look towards VIA, and I look at Jeff, the CEO of the company here to my left, and I want to ask any San Antonio resident to pretend that they were the CEO of our bus system. And you would have some very difficult questions to ask, because you say you want to compete with everybody's first choice, which is their vehicle. Absolutely. If that is the best choice, do so. But if you're running our bus system, the first question you're going to ask is, what can we afford to do? And I'm really glad that in the future they're planning out their top corridors currently being used, getting people to the medical center, to our military bases, to work, to school. And they've weighed heavily on their decision to say, let's invest in those corridors to make those more attractive, because if we do that, the theory of action is it will increase ridership. But if they had more money to get to Tony's problem, we might be able to do 24-hour service. So it really comes down to how we want to run our bus system with the existing resources. And if we want to improve, we're going to have to put up or shut up.
Ray Saldana, the District 4 City Council member, and also with us today is Jeff Arndt, President and CEO of the VIA Metropolitan Transit, Molly Cox, President and CEO of SA 2020. I'm David Martin Davies. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.